Hey everybody, Wizard and the Bruiser and Page 7 are going back on the road this summer. That's right, Release the Butthole Cut Tour returns. Where are we going, Jake?
Oh, you can find us in Salt Lake City, Denver, Las Vegas, Portland, Tacoma, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, and St. Louis, Missouri.
LastPodcastNetwork.com for tickets. Go to LastPodcastNetwork.com for Page 7 of Wizard and the Bruiser present Release the Butthole Cut Tour.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Oh, yeah! G-Stacks.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Well, let's not sing the song because he's going to flag the episode.
I know. I don't want to get in his way. I don't
want to mess with that.
I don't want to actually pay the cheese tax.
No.
Yes.
An artist and his art, nothing comes between it.
So, guys, I just wanted, before the show even began, I wanted to pepper with you some of my best material I got here.
Yeah?
Mass Hysteria. What's that? Is that what Oprah goes through every 6 months?
What does that even mean?
Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria.
What the fudge does it mean?
Yeah, are you talking about
ballooning in weight and size?
Oh my God.
In and out.
But so you're going to make fun of Oprah. You're going to make fun of April. Oh,
mass hysteria.
What?
And you're also making fun of Oprah from like 15 years ago.
Mass hysteria. What is this? My new boutique gym?
That makes
less sense. Let's redo. We have to redo this intro. What does this even mean?
Mass hysteria? What are we talking about? Oprah's. Oprah?
What the fuck? Okay, welcome to Last Podcast.
Ricky Lake.
Why are you referencing talk show hosts from the 90s?
People that lost a lot of weight and suddenly gained a lot of weight and lost.
But how is that?
Mass hysteria. Henry Zebrowski's problem.
Oh my God. I don't even understand hysteria. I don't understand the hysteria and weight loss and weight gain thing.
Yeah. Mass hysteria. What is this? Some form of long extreme marathon set in the Boston area?
I don't. Wow. Wow, I'm
mass
confused.
Hysteria?
Yeah. What, are you focusing on the word mass?
Or the word hysteria? Massachusetts? Is that,
see,
was that the last
time?
Boston, Mass. He said Boston, Mass.
Yes.
Mass, but how does hysteria tie into a marathon?
It doesn't make sense.
I said extreme, kind of like a tough mutter.
Wow, but it actually, I understand now.
Now you're talking about racehorses.
I am really very good.
I'm hysterical, so I think you actually did a good job.
See?
Welcome to the last podcast of the left, everyone.
Mass hysteria.
It doesn't make sense. Ben hanging out with Marcus and Henry. Today's episode, I bet you figured it out. It's not about weight gain, weight loss amongst celebrities of the 90s. It's about mass hysteria through time.
Now, we've talked about a fair amount of mass hysterias here on Last Podcast, from larger scale, long lasting, consequential movements like the Salem witch trials to smaller cryptid outbreaks like the Spring-Heeled Jack saga.
Away we go.
Oh.
Most hysterias, however, like those surrounding the nuns of Loudon, lie somewhere in between historically significant and a merely curious set of incidents.
I will say, a lot of mass hysterias, maybe it's got to do with even the name itself, it really does have a lot to do with tits.
You think so?
Well, there was Spring-Heeled Jack was all about like squeaking and bouncing, right? Which is frowned upon.
Of course. And I think it was then as well.
There was other breast-centered hysterias. There was a belly hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
The belly dancing hysteria of the 1920s. We just don't know.
Well, these hysterias lie in the realm where the mental and physical faculties that keep us tethered to the earth temporarily break for reasons science does not fully understand.
There are certain things that science can't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like the inner workings of...
The female mind? Is that what you want to say?
I'm very hungover from the 419 show. I took a lot of edibles last night.
Yeah.
60 edibles. I woke up still snowing. You were all just NPCs to me.
I watched I watched him house these enormous edibles and then house three more after that.
And how was the show?
The show was great.
Good.
I just don't know what happened afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I talked a lot. And I don't really remember a heck of a lot that I said.
I do remember him saying that he was scared a lot.
I felt like scared but pleasant.
Okay, mass hysteria.
And so today, we're going to explore two kinds of mass hysterias. There is, of course, collective delusions, in which a large group of people succumb to a certain false rumor or assertion, then turn that rumor into an accepted reality that thereafter causes panic or aggressive behavior. January 6th, 2021 would be a prime example.
Yes. I think even a better example, Richard Gere's asshole. At no point was there a gerbil, a hamster inside Richard Gere's ass.
I did think about that. I also thought about the Troy Aikman getting his stomach pumped for cum rumor.
That was real.
That was also real. However, it did not result in aggressive behavior or panic.
I don't know. We can ask Richard Gere.
Oh, yeah.
Because I guarantee you people are like, what's in there? What's in there, Richie?
Do you know what that's called?
What?
Ass hysteria.
Curious.
More fascinating, however, is the idea of mass psychogenic illness, where people actually become afflicted with an illness or they suffer from the symptoms of an illness without any pathogen or catalyst other than social and cultural influences.
Ooh, this would be like mass exorcisms, things of that nature, perhaps?
Linsanity.
Linsanity, Jeremy Lin. Good reference.
Deep New York City, deep cut.
Nice.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Linsanity was the man.
You only remember that from New York Post covers, don't you?
Yep.
He did it.
You know what flea causes? Bass hysteria. Bass hysteria.
Bass hysteria.
Bass hysteria. Oh. Real good. Wow.
God, we got it fucking.
You should have stopped him yesterday from eating all these edibles, Marcus.
He ate it real fast.
It
was like a dog eating a fucking piece of chocolate on the floor. You want to just grab it from him and you can't. It's too late.
Wow.
And then I have astigmatism.
Wow.
And so the lights from the crowd, like they were getting super glary and it looked like I was talking to fairies.
Cool. All right. What a show.
Well, epidemic hysteria, as it's called, it is a somatic disorder, meaning it's a mental disorder in which an individual has actual physical symptoms, but without the medical condition that is associated with those symptoms.
Havana syndrome.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, because if you're feeling the effects of something that even if you don't have it, you kind of have it.
Well, true. Again, it's like, do you think a thing or are you the thing? Yeah.
For example, one might vomit uncontrollably. They might sleep very little. They might suffer from night sweats. They might deal with constant fatigue, which if you look it up on the internet,
makes you a podcaster.
If you look it up on the internet, you're going to see lymphoma.
Sure.
Because
you looked it up on the internet.
Yeah.
Which is like a catastrophe machine.
Yeah, but you're showing all of the symptoms of having lymphoma.
Right.
But when you go to a doctor, he says, there's no lymphoma. Who fucking knows what's wrong with you?
And then the doctor goes back and makes fun of you with all the nurses.
Yeah.
Right. They do that.
Now, I'll say from experience that most of the time when a doctor shrugs and give a diagnosis of, oh, you're just stressed, that's the sign of a lazy, baffled, or, to be fair, overworked doctor.
Inserting his own vicious, vile hate of doctors.
He's about creating his own narrative and sticking to it.
I like it.
But, overdiagnosed or not, somatic illnesses are very real, and nowhere are they more on stark display than during hysterical epidemics.
Great time for comedy.
Mass hysteria is sometimes when you're trapped in an elevator and you can't get out.
That would be.
Yeah.
That would be scary.
But how is that mass?
Too big.
It could be a large elevator, to be fair.
We saw some mass hysteria when Kissel broke the chair before we're getting leaving for Australia and they had to give him the bottle of wine.
That's true.
They didn't have to. They felt bad for me.
That was their hysteria.
Yes, indeed.
Well, in a physical sense, the symptoms shown during these epidemics have no plausible organic basis. Hmm. The symptoms are transient and benign, and they show a mysteriously rapid onset and recovery.
They're also a lot of times highly unusual.
Yeah.
They're very strange, very specific. We don't know where the hell they're coming from. You kind of wonder, like, how'd y'all get the same idea at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's because we are all connected via a series of mitochondria, right? Like, let's get into this. Our mitochondria actually are little, like, 5G little portals inside of our brains that broadcast to each other. Our pituitary gland, that it's like a drain, right? A drain for all of your thoughts to run through into the back of my head, which I call the yard.
Well,
and the yard
that's
is where
good.
All the other thoughts are.
Okay.
Well, absolutely. And that's why good improv can exist. Pro wrestling can exist. Coexistence.
But in pro wrestling, don't they just like pinch each other's nipples?
They do that, but they also have some, it's like mind melding. It's a mind meld.
Because you go like, I'm going to do the suplex. But there's
a mind meld.
Yeah. I'm going to take the leg, I'm going to put it up. I'm the Undertaker.
Jamming. You get a bunch of musicians together.
Start
jamming.
Here, we'll show an example.
Boom.
Wow.
There's a crow in the room.
That's crazy.
Well, socially, these hysterias...
That's really good.
It's hard to come out of a jam that fast.
It's like whiplash. Tough. Wow, we're like the string cheese incident.
Well, socially, these hysterias most often occur in segregated groups where anxiety is high. Places like Salem, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. in the 17th century.
Oh, yeah.
As in Salem, the symptoms are spread through communication, whether it be seeing the symptoms or simply hearing about the symptoms, which is how the witch menace spread across Massachusetts. Remember, it wasn't just Salem.
Hey, excuse me, all. I think I heard some symptoms in here.
Yes, indeed. The witch menace is around.
Most interestingly, I think, when it comes to humans being tribal primates at the end of the day, the spread often, but not always, moves down the age scale, starting with older, higher status people and moving down. QAnon, for example, didn't truly take hold until older people in power started talking about it and giving it credence.
Well, because then we're getting some kind of confirmation from somebody that might know, and then you don't realize that actually... A hot dog vendor can be elected to the House of Representatives if they have enough. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it just kind of shows, you know, anybody could be in the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody at all. Which is the point, is it not?
Is it not? You know? You have to sell your soul a little bit.
Oh, of course.
Things and
you have to sell your soul to do fucking anything, man.
Yeah. You do. You do.
How do you have to sell your soul to become that hot dog vendor in the first place?
Oh, first of all, you're part of Big Nitrate.
You're definitely Big Nitrate. You can't like pigs. Your family might as well be dead because you're working all the time.
Most of the time, you're sending money home to someplace else.
Yeah.
Or you're a niche, like gourmet hot dog guy.
Sure.
But then you're past vendor. Now you're not a vendor.
Yeah.
And also, let's not be too fancy with it. It's a hot dog. Mm-hmm. Let's have fun with it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, since...
But you could be a vegan. And you're forced to sell hot dogs because you need to make money.
Vegan hot dogs.
No, you would sell meat hot dogs, but you are a vegan.
Uh-huh.
That would be a conflict of interest.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you both for answering my question so succinctly and intellectually.
It's incredible how much selling out happens at all times.
You have to do it sometimes.
Now, since hysterical epidemics are a social affliction, the cure partly comes from removing the afflicted from the social element. The area in which the hysteria is occurring must be quarantined, and individuals experiencing the symptoms have to be separated. That's why you take Facebook away from mom and dad when they get too crazy with it.
Yes.
Please.
But again, in Salem, the failure to do this is what made the whole tragedy worse. By keeping the afflicted girls together during the witch examinations, authorities were exacerbating the physical and mental symptoms, which made the infernal tortures appear to be all too real. Now, had those girls been separated, or better yet, removed from the courtroom altogether, then there's little doubt that the hysteria would have reached the fever pitch that it did, where so many people needlessly died.
If a couple of more clever town leaders could have taken all of those twitching women down to the river and said, hey, I know you guys got a lot of energy out here. Everybody's here. Let's work this out. First of all, let's get you out of these coarse clothes.
You want to open up a strip club.
And then, like, first
you
want to
open
up
a witchy strip club, which, yes, does sound fantastic.
It does.
Yes, let's just begin a goth dance naked night.
What about let him go to school?
Oh, that's already proved to be difficult.
But to that point, there's really no way to prevent mass sociogenic illness because it is difficult for humans to recognize when it's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
To wit, hysterias almost always occur as an outcropping of the cultural anxieties of the era and location in which they occur.
One day I'd love to talk to an expert in this field.
There's very few. That's the problem, is that there actually aren't experts in this field.
It's very difficult to put together because... Like, how do you put this? Each man is an island in their own way, right? Like your computer now. Like, now have we've made algorithms be an exteriorization of our, like, little windows into the world. That the fact that you don't know, most people don't know, that what they see on their computer is actually different than what other people say on their computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are actually, they're creating their own, like, echo chamber inside their own head. But then your own brain is also very dedicated in keeping you locked into your own perspective.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. Like, empathy is a learned skill, I think. Like, you have to figure out that other people view things from other angles and have things outside of them that are factors to create who they are. And it's very, something like this shows that, like, it's kind of a flaw in our consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
That we can get locked onto a thing. And it really would take your whole life bottoming out for you to understand that you've been incorrect.
Or do you just take the pill and stay in the Matrix.
Sure.
And because then, because then you're just like, sweet, I love it. Because,
we talked about with QAnon that it's all like, it's about the friends you made along the way. January 6th was just more of a fun afternoon for a lot of these guys.
Of people.
Because they did not understand really kind of what they were in the middle of, that they were volunteering to be a part of.
Yeah.
Well, some definitely did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, some.
They came heavily armed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they were taking it to the next step. Like, they were taking it really seriously.
And some of them were heavy in the arms, but most of them were heavy in the middle part of the
body. I saw a lot of that. A lot of butts.
Mass hysteria.
There we go.
Well, as I just said, like, even though mass hysteria is used to explain away all manner of events, whether it be, you know, the aforementioned January 6th.
It's very much like a swamp gas.
Yeah, UFOs. It's also used to explain that away. It's used to explain away Mothman, any sort of cryptid sighting, any sort of flap. Flaps are usually ascribed to mass hysteria.
All the time.
Yeah.
All right.
Studies on the phenomenon are few, and experts in the field are scant. What we do know is that there are typically two forms of epidemic hysteria. The first is seemingly more common, mass anxiety hysteria. Mm. It's basically societal paranoia, and one can use it to explain pretty much every satanic panic in history, from QAnon to the devil cult accusations leveled at North American daycares in the early 90s.
Yeah, because they're feeling this paranoia. Times are tight, right? Things are intense in the country, and so that kind of like feeds some kind of inner mechanism. But again, we don't know what the hell it is.
To mention the cover of the Ghoulies. How many people think that Ghoulies are in their toilets to this day?
Simply
because of that cover.
That's why. What's the name of that kitty litter we've been working with? They have been my savior.
I think it's Cat.
Well, Pretty Litter?
Pretty Litter.
It's been so good to just let loose in a bucket of Pretty Litter because, again, no Ghoulies.
No Ghoulies.
Because I can check the bottom of it.
This toilet's Ghoulie free, trust me.
Uh-oh. Now it's Ghoulie full.
No, that ain't right. Mass hysteria.
Well, for example, in 1992, in the town of Martinsville in Saskatchewan, a parent alleged that someone at a local daycare run out of the owner's home had sexually abused her child. Serious allegations.
Very serious.
But as it often happened in the early 90s when it came to daycares and sex abuse allegations, the case soon spiraled into the realm of the satanic.
Yes, but not the fun. No. They can't do the horns. It doesn't. It's not fun.
It's
here.
Not. This no. isn't fun.
No. But pretty soon, the accuser was roping in everyone she could on these allegations, alleging that the daycare owner's entire family was involved in the molestation, along with members of three nearby police departments.
Oh, mama.
Allegedly, they all belonged to a devil-worshipping cult called the Brotherhood of the Ram.
Okay.
Who specialized in drugging, beating, and sodomizing children.
That's the only thing I don't like.
That's good. Those are strong principles,
yes.
Henry.
Yes, they did it. They took them out of the daycare and brought them to a quote-unquote devil church.
Okay, that's not good.
It's very difficult to get real estate. I don't think you guys understand that.
It is.
Now, never mind that there wasn't a shred of physical evidence for these insane allegations. About 100 charges were soon filed against over a dozen people.
Wow.
And the local papers were reporting that 30 children had been sexually abused before they'd been locked in freezers and forced to drink the blood of cult members.
Well, that's not good.
That's not
good. That's what I would say if I was there right now, go back, Ben Kissel, my age, I read the paper and say, well, that's not, honey, this ain't good.
I can see you there as in the devil church as they're molesting and bleeding all the children.
Be there.
You'd be like, hey, guys, hey, let's think about this a second time.
That's not good.
Well, so intense was the fear felt by this small town that when a local priest called the police station one night to tell them that a horde of murderous devil worshipers were on their way at that very moment, the police chief took him seriously.
Just so
all
ridiculous.
The dudes in the police department, they brought up their shotguns. They set up barricades.
Huh. It's
nothing happened.
But nothing happened.
Of course.
Huh?
Of course. Yes. Nothing happened because there were no Satanists.
But
there was
what if
never...
something did happen?
What if it
be
did?
Be prepared.
Yes, but that's why January 6th, I kind of say, like, well, you know, whatever with it. It's weird. There are things that are weird within it because what you saw was that there was a mass hysteria moment building, and then there were architects on top that obviously saw benefits from what this could all do. And I do believe it was on all sides where they were like, how do we spin this entire event? And that's why they walked in. They didn't know what to do. There were like doors let open for them. It's a bunch of sketchy shit inside of that.
Well, all of that stuff was, that was them trying to get the... Anyway, I don't want to talk about Jenny.
But you know what I mean? It's something like this, where these things blow up because there are people in various influential spots that watch these things build and they think, how do we benefit from this wave?
Yeah.
But there was a lot. The reason that they were being escorted around is because they were trying to get them away from all the politicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I know. They would,
yeah.
That's when DeLong...
It's a whole thing. It was a whole day.
It's a whole day. I remember.
It was America's big day.
It was America's big day.
Yeah.
I'm not even doing July 4th anymore. I'm only doing Jan 6th.
I was wondering why you stood in the middle of the 101 with the chair with those sparklers and the American flag this year.
That would be fun. Ooh, mattress sales.
Well, the idea that the police actually bought into this panic that a horde of Satanists were coming, it's incredible.
Yes.
Because the police officers were themselves the ones who were being accused of being satanic devil worshipers. They knew that they were not devil worshipers, yet still they played into the anxiety because it was brought to an appropriate level and because it was directed at them.
Yeah, had to shut down the other police officers so that they didn't look like they were the Satan worshiping police officers.
What you got to do is you got to show up, you got to present a series of mirrors in front of the cops.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you say, you're the horde.
Now
you're the horde.
Whoa, wait a second. Is that a Kendall Jenner commercial for Pepsi? That would be incredible.
She saved everything.
Yeah. She did.
She solved it all.
Now, this all occurred in 1992, but it took until the early 2000s for the people who were charged to get any sort of compensation. The daycare owner's son, he did time. For molestation. He went to jail.
Oh, that's the worst thing to go to jail for. And he is innocent.
Well, I mean, it's widely believed that he's innocent. He never appealed his conviction, which no one really can figure out why. But it's widely accepted that, everyone was innocent of all charges. He just happened to go down for it.
But then you either don't got no money no more, right? Or you're just so beaten down and destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Or there was a bunch of other molestations that you did. And then you just got caught on the bad one. Yeah. And now you know that so in jail, everybody's maybe believing that you're innocent because you're like, all I like is MILFs. Like he goes up to the lunch lady in the prison. Milk. He goes like, oh, I wish I could give those a squeeze. Yeah. And they're like, there's no way Jerry's a child molester.
Right.
And then you don't know that actually you are guilty of a bunch of child molesting, just not the one that you're in jail for.
Fantastic idea. I don't know if there's lunch ladies in prison.
What?
It is also possible.
There's no lunch ladies in prison?
There's other prisoners.
There's lunch people.
Yes. There's they don't.
Yeah, remember, there's lunch men. Remember John Wayne Gacy was a lunch man.
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it is also possible, as we see with false confessions, that you can almost be a victim of mass hysteria yourself and actually trick yourself into thinking that you did something wrong.
We'll get into a prime example of that here in a minute.
Very interesting. That's a strange human conundrum.
Well, once the rest of the defendants in the McMartinsville trial had the advantage of years and distance, the courts easily saw that the accusations were so far beyond reason that monetary compensation to the tune of millions of dollars was handed over, or millions of Canadian dollars.
My question is, how much time would you serve for $10 million?
Ooh, man, but not for child molestation.
No, I mean, you're in solitary
best. No. For $10 million, did I get it after?
Yeah, you get it after. I mean, it's not going to help you during.
Man,
what are you going to spend it on?
I don't know, dude.
Knowing what it would, how much it would destroy my mental health for the rest of my life, 6 days.
6 days?
Voluntarily? Yeah, 6 days.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do good in the big house.
$10 million.
I've watched a lot of Big Herc, and I know that they don't like the funny guys.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
I'd have to figure out. I'd have to get into the... Honestly, if I could teach them all... Like, I could teach acting classes.
Yeah.
I feel like I could teach acting classes inside of jail.
Yeah.
A
guy like me... And you're talking, like, federal prison, right?
We're talking, federal prison.
Yeah, federal prison.
Well, maybe
Gym Pop federal prison?
Sure.
Okay, day and a half. Maybe. I'd spend a night there.
Strong like bull.
How long do you think you could do in jail?
Oh, God. Well, first thing you do, you go and you drop trow right away.
Oh, yeah.
And you say, line up, boys. There's a new show pony in town.
No.
And you give everyone what they need, handies, suckies, and hopefully after that, they give you a little bit of respect.
I don't know, actually.
I think I'm too tall. I think I would be uncomfortable.
Oh, you'd be very uncomfortable in jail.
It would. I could survive.
I want to train little mice.
I don't want to, though.
Yeah, I train mice and pigeons. I'd be that guy with little, circle glasses going, sometimes it's just, the smaller they are, they understand more what it's like to live in a small place. You know,
I'm so big, you're so tiny, yeah, and then we could fit together.
Yeah, like two Lego blocks.
Yeah. But yeah, Marcus, it would be bad for you because you're also kind of a feminine build. It would be
I'm androgynous in many different ways. It's not going to be good for
you. Yeah, we could flop you around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Flop you around real bad.
There we go. Yeah. 6 days. For Marcus?
I took it down to a day and a half.
I do a fortnight.
The one funny thing is that stupid ad, we'll get back to this, but that dumb show where people volunteer to go to prison for 60 days.
Oh, the world's toughest prisons?
Yes, that man. But then they just have normal people that go to prison for like 60 days, and then sometimes they actually commit a crime in prison, and then they get sentenced to prison.
Oh!
That suck.
Why would you do this?
They're stupid.
Yep.
Rise from your grave.
Well, while the mass anxiety scares are certainly more consequential in the societal sense, the more interesting and mysterious of the two kinds of epidemic hysterias is mass motor hysteria.
What's that?
F1.
Nice.
Jethro Tull. No, it's like Deep Purple. Mass motor hysteria.
That this is off the rails today.
Space took it.
Wow.
Burner.
God damn.
Does this episode come with an edible? I swear to God.
I'm just getting into the 420 spirit. I haven't smoked weed in years, but hey, man, it's like Christmas. You got to get into it.
It's because I put it in your water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a mental breakdown.
Please, God.
And yeah, I know Godzilla was Blue Oyster Cult, so don't give me any shit.
It's too late.
No one's caring. No one cares. No one knew. No one knows.
Well, in this condition, in mass motor hysteria, a slow accumulation of pent-up stress within a bad social scene can eventually result in dissociation, histrionics, and alterations to psychomotor activity.
Yeah.
Oh.
People shake, twitch, contort, and contract, which is pretty much what people do when they're supposedly possessed by the devil.
This actually, I've seen this. Now, when you mention all of this, it reminds me of my evangelical uproots.
Yeah.
We've talked about this. So do you not think that, like, it's mostly voluntary, though? Like, that it's not involuntary?
Because you also, so you get called up in front of the pastor, right? And then you get the laying on my hands.
Yeah.
And you have to do something.
It's societal pressure.
But also it's...
I just do the robot. Whoa! Whoa! Wow. What is
oh,
he?
My God. He's being... That would crush. When I got the hands laid upon me, and you know, you fall over, they just push you over.
Yeah.
But yes, you do. You go over. I mean, that's your role in that game.
Wow, what kind of a wide berth did they give behind you?
Well, bro, I was a bit younger then, and I opened my eyes and I was looking right up a girl's skirt.
No, I remember
she was my age. Right. She was
when
my
he
age.
Fell over, they all went into mass hysteria.
Yeah.
They were so scared of sex.
But it's like that Crash Test Dummy song. Great song.
Yeah. How is it like that song?
Because they talk about going to the church, everyone's rolling around on the ground, climbing around like worms.
Do they?
Yeah.
I'll have to take his word for it.
Yeah.
I thought it was just one about polka dots.
No. There's a bunch of stuff. You're high. Yes.
Well, unaddressed or worse, encouraged, the symptoms of mass motor hysteria can last weeks or months.
Wow.
If it's encouraged or if people simply take it seriously as, say, a mass demonic movement, then it quickly spreads from person to person. Case in point are the so-called dancing plagues of Europe.
You know, for a long time, people thought there's still been kind of like, there was like a debunk movement for a while trying to say that these didn't happen. But now they're actually showing that there's a lot more evidence than they thought there was originally to show that like dancing plagues happened. People were
What's a dancing plague?
We'll get into it. The dancing plague started in the 11th century and occurred regularly until the mid-17th century. Sometimes called St. Vitus's Dance after the patron saint of dancing, the dancing plagues could last weeks, sometimes months, and could often be fatal to the involuntary participants.
They danced themselves to death?
Yes, because dancing plagues is a little bit, because it's kind of both, because some seem like they are actual dancing. Some do seem more like giant group seizures that also kind of happen, which is, weirdly, comes up several times, that actual phenomenon.
Yeah.
Dancing plagues are actually the earliest recorded instances of what we now call mass sociogenic illness. Hmm. Although the frenzied Dionysian antics in the 405 BC play The Bacchae certainly imply that motoric mass hysteria has existed throughout mankind's social history. Do they not?
Really interesting.
They just
really interesting stuff.
I wasn't prepared for this voice.
Bacchanalian.
It's a Bacchanalian frenzy dance.
Bacchanalia is a thing. It was a thing. I don't know what is real. I don't know a lot about it. I know the Dionysians were a cult.
Princess Diana was murdered. I don't know.
I think her head just did that.
No, she was killed by the paparazzi.
Yep. By us, almost, in a way.
Isn't that true?
By our attention.
Isn't that a fact?
First person in history murdered by photography.
Indeed.
Except for many Amish.
Oh.
So they're so scared of it.
So the earliest recorded example of a dancing plague comes from the year 1021 during a Christmas Eve mass in the Germanic town of Kolbeck. That evening, the priest was interrupted by 18 people dancing with wild abandon, making noise outside the church.
Wow. But this is German, so it's oompa music.
Yeah.
Well, actually, when do you think polka music began?
Well, polka music is not German.
Yeah.
That's Polish.
Czech.
I'm talking oompa music.
What do you mean polka music's not fucking German? They're all the same.
No, polka music.
It's Polish.
Yeah, it's Polish and Czech. It's Eastern European.
That's your people.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you mix polka with traditional Latin American.
It becomes mariachi music.
It becomes Tejano.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
No, not mariachi. It becomes Tejano.
Nice.
What's the difference?
Texas Tornadoes, they're Tejano.
Wow, I'm spontaneously dancing over here. All right, very good.
It's a great episode.
Really solid. It's something. Not the first episode to introduce us to new listeners. I thought you said there was content.
Well, and since that the day
there is content.
You know, what I really enjoy about last podcast is they really inject like intelligence into the humor.
We do.
Yeah. Well, and since that the dancers weren't giving a Christmas Eve mass its due respect, the priest marched outside and ordered them to stop. They ignored him. And like something out of a folk horror film, the dancers held hands and danced around the priest in what was called a ring dance of sin.
Oh.
Clapping, leaping, and chanting in unison.
We are a butthole. We are a butthole. You're inside a butthole.
That makes the priest a turd.
Yep.
According to a local chronicler, the priest was so enraged that he cursed the dancers to dance for an entire year as punishment for their quote-unquote outrageous levity.
Well, if you're going to be out there making a show out of something that's not a show, then you better be dancing for the rest of the goddamn year.
All right. This is the smoke a whole pack of cigarettes, see if you get sick.
Mm-hmm. Reportedly, the people believed enough in the priest's power where it actually worked.
Wow.
And it wasn't until the following Christmas that the dancers stopped.
They must have been tired. Wow.
Yeah, they danced themselves to death.
Whoa.
Well, these dancing plagues, as Henry mentioned very briefly, this isn't like fun and sexy, like salt and pepper shoot dancing. Like, it's not.
Oh my God, we're so old. Okay.
No, well, I've been, for a No Ducks in Space episode, I've been getting into shit like this. The song I'm Blue that was originally by the Ikeettes, and then the Monks turned to V-Do.
Great.
And then, of course, that song was sampled. The Ikeettes version was sampled in Shoop by Salt-N-Pepa. So I've been watching that video like a lot lately.
Great.
And they can dance. Boy, they can dance.
They really can. They.
Yeah.
They really
boy, can. They.
Mass hysteria.
Really powerful.
Shoop, baby.
Shoop.
We got to see them perform during the daylight at the Comedy Central Comedy Festival because they was all wrong and the musicians performed before comedy.
I tell you what, man, Chili always be my girl.
Yeah. It's TLC.
Yeah, that is TLC. The two different groups.
Wow.
That is that's so
good.
The whole thing about Salt and Peppa is that one of them is named Salt and the other one is named Peppa.
And then there's Spinderella. And there's fucking Spinderella.
I just got it. We gotta go. I have to go.
Also, everyone's favorite was Left Eye.
I know. I like Left Eye too, but I was sexually attracted to Chili.
Yeah, but Left Eye, well, they're all hot.
I like Chili. She was the one with the long hair, right?
Yeah, I like Chili.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like the tall one from Salt and Pepper.
They're all hot. Yeah, they're all very attractive.
They really are. Yeah. But yeah, this isn't that type of dancing. This is like white woman on a retreat in Sedona, like letting her hair down after scream therapy. Oh. Like this is Beatle Bop. This is like Charles Manson bebopping and jazzing after that reporter asked him to define his unique charm. Yeah. But regardless, after the Christmas Eve dancers stopped following the priest's curse, they reportedly fell into a deep sleep, and some of them subsequently died from exhaustion.
Wow.
Now, that's a fairly incredible story.
Yeah.
Because while it's unknown exactly how long a human can go without sleep, the current record is 11 days.
It's a record you don't want to try to beat.
No.
No, what a nightmare.
Perhaps the dancers continued twitching during sleeping hours and began the boogie anew upon their next awakening.
Well, have you heard about fatal insomnia?
Yeah, where you die from insomnia?
It's a really fun, like...
God, what a horrible way to die.
If you have problems with, like, you know, intrusive thoughts or, like, kind of, like, any form of hypochondria, like, it's, like, the most frightening thing that you've ever heard because it just happens. They don't know why it happens. You just stop being able to go to sleep, and then you go insane to death.
I would imagine.
And it just happens.
That's fucking horrible.
Is that great? There you go. Run with that.
Yeah.
There has
okay,
to be
cool.
a way to get someone to go to sleep.
Well, they have to put you out for a while. They try to do it with anesthesia. It doesn't really, really work because you don't really
so
sleep.
So the brain
with
is just like, we don't sleep anymore.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep. What a trip.
So I bet you there's something. I feel like all of this is kind of weirdly connected in a way.
I think that and locked in. Those very scary.
No.
Always
kill me.
I'm always kill me. Both of you know.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, we'll make fun of you a bunch first.
Sure. Yeah, first,
and we'll get
some content out of it.
Yeah. Yep.
Use the body, film the roast. Mm-hmm. Henry, we're roasting Henry's corpse.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
18 months.
That's great.
And then we'll...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever you can drain out of it. Great.
Well, regardless of logistics... We know that if this story is exaggerated, it's only exaggerated a bit because dancing plagues continued for centuries, specifically in Germany. Now, people tend to dismiss stories of dancing plagues pretty much just because it sounds fucking stupid.
Yeah,
it sounds ridiculous. But a lot of these epidemics were recorded by reliable sources, and they're corroborated by multiple chroniclers who were otherwise trusted in everything else they wrote.
Weird.
It's really strange.
When the German town of Erfurt... In 1247, 200 people were said to have danced on a bridge until it collapsed, drowning them all.
And people were like, TikTok's the problem. You know, it's literally, they've been doing this ever since. Wow. That is just called planking.
Yeah. Well, that actually is interesting as well. I don't know if we cover it, but the Brooklyn Bridge, when it first opened, the mass hysteria, someone's like, it's going down. And then a bunch of people got trampled to death.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that really is. It's kind of mass hysteria.
It is.
Because it wasn't going down.
Or mass panic.
Mass panic.
Yeah. Well, in the next century, thousands of people in the Germanic lands of the Low Countries gathered and danced for weeks while screaming that they were having terrible visions and pleading in great pain for monks and priests to save their souls. About 30 or 40 years after that, monks in the city of Trier recorded that masses of hallucinating dancers hopped and leaped for 6 months. That's not seizures. That's something totally different.
Something else.
Yeah, and some of them even, in fact, died after they landed badly.
Too much hopping.
They broke their ribs. Some of them broke their loins, I think they mean their hips, old people.
They're still German at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We're not a jumping people.
No. You're a kicking people. You're marching people.
Marching, sure. Yeah.
What about Detlef Schrempf?
Yes, but more of a shooter. Not much Detlef. But there's been a Dirk, perhaps.
Nowinski, yeah. And so it went, at least once a century. In Strasbourg, in the summer of 1518, 400 people were caught in a dancing plague so uncontrollable that they danced themselves to death.
Jeez.
Yeah, knowing all the while that sunstroke would kill them if they did not stop. People are dropping dead at their feet, and they're not stopping.
Yeah, how about that, Coachella?
God, we're just fucking so old.
Mm. Yeah, Coachella.
Oh, that lineup is garbage.
It's not for us.
No, it's not.
Oh, I love Tribbett and Mr. Bankel, and I think it's Stank Pink.
Yeah.
Stank Pink is one of my favorite violent
hyperpop.
There we go. Really good.
Now, the city of Strasbourg tried getting proactive with their dancing plague and therefore constructed a special stage in the heart of the city.
Making content.
Yeah, why not? If they're going to be dancing anyway, put them on stage.
The dancers were herded to the stage where they could ostensibly, I think the logic was like, let them get it out of their system.
Yeah, sure. They want attention so much. Yeah.
And you know what happens when Germans let it get out, when they get it out of their system. That's going to be great.
Really let loose what's inside the German. Yeah. Eventually, the city even hired professional dancers and musicians to accompany the people in the dancing trances, either to give the dancers a structure or to just make them visually less unsettled.
There was a dude that watched this at some point. He was like, this needs choreography. Like, he's watching this whole, he's like, we're doing this all wrong. Like, he arrived and he was just like, we need to put up a backdrop. We got to put up some lights.
This
we need
is
music.
A strangely sympathetic approach.
It really is. Yeah.
They're like, let's help him out. Now there's a reason to dance.
Now they're definitely.
Yeah.
Well, they're not dancing a beat.
Yeah.
No,
well, they're not. But at least it's not them dancing in silence. And you just hear the. Of the feet, which
and
is
don't forget the bones cracking.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the bones slowly cracking. Whoa. Of course.
Ooh, that would be horrible to dance your fucking ankles break. And
yeah.
Then,
it happened.
Oh,
yeah.
Like they like doing the Michael Jackson scream.
But of course, once the professional dancers began dancing with the sick ones, the professional dancers also got caught in the epidemic, even though they would try their hardest not to.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Now, it's been wrongly theorized that every single one of these dancing plagues were a result of ergot poisoning.
Ergot
poisoning.
I mean, you know, because they're ergot poisoning. Once they figured out that ergot does that, they're all like, every single historian was like, let's sprinkle some ergot on it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, does it have anything to do with it?
No. But it doesn't wash, because when you consider that people would dance for weeks or months on end without showing any other sign of ergot poisoning, such as puking or shitting yourself into a coma.
You're also just seeing stuff.
Yeah.
This is the nature of how many times it's all everybody who talks about hallucinogens that has never done any.
Yeah.
Where they're all like, well, it makes you go crazy. Where like mostly it just makes you see shit weird and you kind of just like ball up amongst inside of yourself.
I found the phrase that I find myself saying the most when doing hallucinogens is, uh-oh.
Yeah. In my mind, it's also very like, this makes sense. Or like, I like these like, oh, of course that fucking pine cone would be there.
Uh-oh. Like that's as a, uh-oh. Uh-oh in a good way. Or like, uh-oh, all right.
I mostly just sit down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta chill out.
Well, people did exhibit irrational psychedelic sounding behavior during these prolonged trances. In the well-documented 1347 case in the Low Countries, the afflicted yelled out the names of devils, they claimed to be drowning in a sea of blood, and they developed strange aversions to the color red and pointed shoes.
Now that really points towards the society's fears.
I think that's because they were getting kicked. Mayhaps. By all these people in pointed shoes.
Mayhaps. I mean, yeah. And then also, but it's indicative of the devil, of a wicked man, of a wicked person. And so you're basically taking like how we say we transmute our pop culture ideas to our visions of aliens and shit. It's the same as that, where they're just scared of stuff, which is actually to them very scary at the time.
Yeah. It would be funny if aliens come back wearing like 1300s garb, be like, oh, I guess we got the century wrong.
Do you not think that the next wave of fashion is going to be all of that? It's all going to be like 1300s to be like medieval fashion.
Snoodwear?
I think snoodwear. Snood life is coming and it's going to be real.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
But apparently I bought a snood. I told you I took a picture in it, but it looks a bit ethnic. And I tried to put it on. And a listener said it to me. It was great. Thank you. But yeah, I can't wear it because I do. I look like.
You can wear it.
I look like a professional 40-year-old dishwasher from 36 years ago.
What's wrong with that?
I'm just saying it's a knit cap.
All right.
I understand that. And to that point, Henry, we went to the Renaissance Fair last week.
Oh, yeah.
And I was told many a time that I looked like I fit right in. The only thing that was Renaissance clothing on my body was the pants. The shirt, wear that shirt all the time.
It's just close.
The shoes, wear those shoes all the time. And yet, I fit right in the Renaissance.
You looked that like... That's not a compliment.
You looked like a farmer's confused son from Renaissance times.
Confused? I was not confused. Like,
he's not confused.
I was a man of the
we're going to get into what happened that week.
All he wants to do is write poetry. He doesn't have anything to do with the fig farm.
Mm-hmm.
No, and he's just out there picking flowers and dancing.
Oh, the fig farm. No, Marcus was arguing about very important Star Trek issues. Which we are not going to get into.
No, I am not approaching.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Deep Space Nine truly is.
We are not going to get into it.
It's more than just Garden of Wormhole, goddammit.
We're just not going to get into it.
Now, as we said earlier, mass hysterias can come from extreme stresses. In the times in which these dancing plagues occurred, the Middle Ages, they were horrific for the monkey brain of a human.
Yeah.
In the 1347 case, for example, the Black Death had swept through Europe only 25 years earlier. And in the Strasbourg outbreak, there had just been a famine accompanied by the arrival of a new disease called syphilis.
Welcome to the game, syphilis.
God dang.
In addition to recurrent outbreaks of both leprosy and the plague.
Syphilis does make you go mad, right?
It can.
After a long period of time.
So these people weren't suffering from syphilis.
No. No, okay. Syphilis takes like 30, 40 years to drive you crazy.
I got you.
Interesting.
So you got
though,
plenty of time.
I'm good.
Interestingly, though, dancing to process and heal trauma is actually pretty common amongst human beings.
Oh, yeah. Dancing is one of the most powerful art forms ever be because it's not hemmed in by language, society, or culture. Each culture has its own dance, and we're united by dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I mean, okay.
Look at the electric slide. If we brought it to Afghanistan, if we brought the electric slide to Iran, I feel that we could really fix all of that
but
stuff.
Cultures and dancing, it is an interesting way to study cultures through dance, isn't it?
If we could just drop that fucking, what was the this is your chance to do the hump, right? We
do the humpty hump.
You want the
humpty hump? If we drop the humpty hump over Ukraine.
Yeah, maybe that would help.
Well, it could be that a dancing plague is an example of the brakes getting cut on a coping mechanism.
Hmm.
That, however, doesn't explain how dancing plagues spread, which is still to this day a mystery.
It is really, it's interesting. All of these versions of mass hysteria, it's like, I guess you see a bunch of people doing something. There's maybe a little part of you that's like, man, I want to give everything up.
Yeah.
Improv everywhere. Sure. You know, like, let's go. But it is strange. Then you get locked in.
Yeah. You drop out of society and then you realize that society was the net that was keeping you up.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
But society's fucking making me mad.
You're getting it now.
Your home is where you're happy. It's not where you're not free.
That's Charles Manson. That's a Charles Manson lyric.
But speaking of the Middle Ages, medieval convents were common places for outbreaks of mass hysteria. Where there were nuns, there was weirdness.
Oh, yeah, there was. I've
indeed,
seen a lot of
that. Indeed.
Well, these hysterias were usually led by women who had been forced into nunneries, where they lived in prison-like conditions under strict behavioral guidelines.
Ooh, yeah,
a lot of stress.
Those moms and mother superiors really got to keep those nuns in a short leash.
Yeah,
you know?
Real.
Because you got to make sure they're clean, number one.
Yeah, that's
you got to make sure that, first of all, when Sister Clam Slapper shows up, right?
You want to be ready for that.
It's just a nickname.
Yeah.
Her name's Helen. But if you find out why they call her that.
Helen Clam Snapper. Nice to meet you.
Yes, indeed. Wow.
Where a scissors, not just an office supply.
Isn't that nice? We're having oysters for dinner again.
No,
mass hysteria.
Yes.
Now, perhaps because nunneries were such odd constructs full of women forced to be there, so too were the mass hysterias contained therein, often strange.
And oftentimes these were just either lesbian women.
Oh, sure.
Or women that wanted to read.
Well,
and
also,
then they're like, go to the nunnery.
You're also discounting women's where the whole family has been murdered and they have nowhere to go and they have no agency within society.
Or women like youngest daughters who can't be married off, you know, like who have kind of aged out of being married off.
Yeah,
like
spinsters.
You're 32, 35, you're fucking done.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Got too square of a head, got too round of a head.
Right.
Right in the nunnery.
Nuns on the run. Ooh, I'm going to sneak into a nunnery.
Well, in one French convent. Well, in one French convent, one nun began, for reasons unknown, meowing like a cat, which is, of course, an animal associated with witches and therefore Satan.
I've heard people do this.
Meow, yeah. That's what I call mass hysteria.
I mean, I seriously, people meow sometimes.
Yeah. Well, pretty soon, all the nuns in the convent.
People meow sometimes?
Yeah.
They do.
They do.
Who meow sometimes?
Just, I've been to some bars and people just meow. Women.
What?
Women meow.
You're
women.
Different. You're single.
Wait,
it?
What
you're
bars
out there.
Have you been to where women
there's,
just meow?
I'm telling
you. It's the Pussy Hut. There was Tabby Corner. Garfield's
Corner.
Place.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Garfield's. Yes. Get the normal.
Well, pretty soon, all the nuns in the convent were meowing like cats, eventually falling into a chorus of caterwauling for hours every day.
Wow. Weird.
The meowing only stopped when local soldiers were ordered into the convent to whip and spank the nuns until the kittens quieted down.
I think that was the point of the meowing.
You gotta bark.
Well, that's the thing. The soldiers are barking.
Yeah, the soldiers are barking. They're playing cats and dogs.
They're just trying to have sex with each other.
Yeah, man.
But mass hysterias amongst nuns could also spread from convent to convent. Hmm. The meowing nuns, that was just one convent.
For sure.
And this happened simply by word of mouth. Or should I say happened simply by word of mouth. In the 15th century, for example, nuns began biting each other in convents spread across France and the Germanic states.
This is when you really need Russell Crowe's The Pope's Exorcist to show up and fix this shit. Because this is really weird.
Yes, nuns just...
It turns a nunnery into more of a nommery.
Yeah, because they're eating it there. They're nom, nom, nomming on it.
They're viciously biting each other.
Wow, what a weird time to be a nun.
Yeah.
Before long, the biting nun thought virus had spread to Italy and the Netherlands, and no one could get the nuns to stop biting people, no matter how much they begged them to stop.
Wow.
When prayer failed as well, the church ordered mass exorcisms. And when that was a bust, they fell back on the old standbys of flogging and drowning.
And honestly, get them a Peloton.
Yeah, they needed to be worked out.
But once several nuns were flogged and or drowned, word spread to the other convents, and the biting miraculously stopped.
Wow, weird.
I wonder what did it.
I wonder.
I actually sometimes think if, you know, go along and get along.
Go along and
get
along.
You're biting. I think there's... We're
biting now,
bit,
so we'll start biting.
Slightly in the Salem witch trials, we talk a little bit about the concept of, okay, I have no agency. I've been put into this thing. I'm in society, not in my choice. It's not my choice to be here. I'm also in this nunnery. It's not my choice. And on some level, this aberrant behavior actually gives me power in a situation.
Some control over it.
It's a rebellion.
Yeah.
You know, even though you're biting each other, you know, and biting everyone, but still a sort of rebellion.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the fully the cows.
Yeah, but it does make sense.
Sure.
And you know, that actually sort of makes sense a little bit with the very first dancing plague that we talked about. You know, they're rebelling against the church, and then the church...
Oh, yeah, now it's always, oh, we're not dancing? Fuck you. Yeah, I'm always dancing.
Always dancing.
Live from your grave.
Now, throughout the Middle Ages, mass hysterias were often blamed on the devil. And our next story, the Milan poisoning, was no different. Now, as we know, the salad days of the Black Plague were in the 14th century.
The appetizer course.
I love it.
But it persisted in Europe in occasional flare-ups until the 1800s. This, of course, caused much consternation whenever it occurred. And while many people usually blamed the Jewish folk when the plague came to town, another group shared the bill in the 17th century.
Thank God.
Was it movie reviewers?
The Jewish people. I mean, come on. You gotta leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
I mean, come on.
Leave him alone. Well, in conjunction with the Salem hysteria just a few decades later, rumors were spreading across Europe in the early to mid 1600s that the plague was being spread by witches and witchcraft.
And I do believe this is a mechanism of population control. Like, and also saying that we don't like aberrant people in our society. We don't like the fringe people. And so anytime you see one, it's a new way to scapegoat anybody you may not like or may not like the cut of the jib of. Because now you can say like, oh, well, they're sneaking plague in. Everybody's so scared of plague that they're immediately going to react.
Yeah. Well, you have no choice at that point because you know you're going to, if you get the plague, you know you're going to die. So yeah, why take the chance?
Why take the chance indeed? It was, of course, as we covered in the Black Plague, a lot of commerce was the reason for the spread.
Well, and the best example of this rumor's consequences, and this story does actually have to do with commerce a bit. Milan was struck with a horrific plague in 1630, in which a quarter of the city's population was dead when the whole thing was said and done. A quarter. But at the height of the panic, the governor of Milan received word from King Philip IV of Spain. King Philip said that four Frenchmen had escaped from prison and were spreading the plague with poisonous ointments.
No, I couldn't really figure out why he said this thing. I guess it was a way to try to catch the criminals. Perhaps. Where they just, these guys were released. No one really knows the nature of why, of who they were, why it was, they were so important to be caught. But it sounds like they did that being so that people wouldn't look out and try to get these motherfuckers. And I don't know
the Frenchmen.
I don't know who they double crossed.
Yeah.
To experience this.
Or what information they had about King Philip IV.
Ooh, he did not like Fromage.
My real name, Stanley.
Oh, he's out of here.
Well, the hysteria increased in May of 1630 when citizens in Milan reported seeing people placing poison ointments in a cathedral, just a little dab on the benches.
Little and, dab dabble, do you?
And, that, and this presumably is where witchcraft got mixed up into the story. An attack on the church. But while authorities found nothing in the cathedral, all the doors along the main street of Milan the next day were marked with a mysterious daub.
This is really
a mysterious what?
Daub. It, like a daub. Like, you know, like you get some Vaseline, you get like a big jar of petroleum jelly and you put two fingers into it.
Always.
You got a daub.
Yeah, 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 always. See, I always DeSantis it. I like to use my three fingers because you get more mass.
He uses three fingers on the pudding?
Yeah, I think it's a three or a two finger.
That's a three finger, man. He gives it what I call, this is called the dolphin.
Yeah.
Where you put the three in the middle go in and then you got two fins on the other side.
Well, you got two fins in order to hold the pudding cups.
Yeah, you want
to
do that.
Two pudding cups, so you're never without
pudding at any chance.
It's amazing the quick decline of that weird, weird man.
So fast.
Yeah. But you know, he has that leaked tape where he's like, when you're a celebrity, you can grab any pudding by the pussy.
Now you're satirical, and I enjoy your satire, sir. I enjoy your satirical take on things.
The Capitol steps are coming up next.
They're broken up.
I know, for political reasons.
Yes.
That's sad.
But the mysterious daub was real, and this is interesting, because this is truly just pranksters.
Yeah.
Somebody heard this rumor that these guys are showing up with plague, and so then they're doing it with cream.
Yeah, they're doing it with cream, and they're just putting mysterious daubs on all the doors in the main street so everyone would be able to see them.
And isn't it a fun time to be a teenager during this era?
Very much so, because you can whip up everybody.
Right?
No one has any clue what's real or what's not real unless they have a frock on and you have to believe them for some reason.
And if you're a teenager in this era, like, you're an adult. You're a man.
You're an adult.
Yeah, you're an adult. Yeah,
you're a father.
Yeah, you're not like driving around in your Chevy, you know, like going beep beep, going on the drag, smoking cigarettes with your buddy Wes.
That.
No, you're doing none of that.
No, Taco
you're
Bell,
farming. You're sustenance farming.
Yeah.
What about the parking lot of Taco Bell?
Taco Bell is only 1620s. It's like 20 years away.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Taco Bell has only been around since like 1645. Yeah.
Right.
You're not going that there. You're not going to the opposite side of the Sonic Drive-In.
Not having any
not
fun.
The first side, the second side, because that's where all the kids hang out.
I actually don't know that. I didn't know that.
That was a Texas thing, I believe.
Weird.
You wouldn't understand.
I know that.
It was a goop, though.
Yeah, it was a goop.
They put on the walls was they said it was yellow.
Yeah. But the mysterious daub was nothing poisonous. It sounds like tallow. Like fat, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or some daubable material.
Okay.
But it was a prank. It was playing off the poison plague fears that had been steadily building.
Yeah, sometimes if you want to create a fake plague, a little daub will do you.
Yeah, really absolutely. Do. But instead of breaking the tension, the prank increased the fear. And soon no one was safe from accusation or assault. In one case, an old man just minded his own business while sitting on a bench. He was accosted by a mob after a daub of something was seen on the bench the old man was sitting on.
That's just my poop.
Oh, that's sad.
I couldn't hold it anymore. I was thinking about the last plague.
Oh.
And now I'm sitting in my duke. And everybody's saying I'm the bad guy.
You're a bad guy now. You're a wizard.
I need help.
You do. You need to die.
I wish I could. I still live.
You will.
Every day I wake up.
You'll be dead soon.
Thank you.
No problem.
Well, the old man was beaten and dragged into a church.
This is not what I wanted to die.
I'm sorry. This is how it's going to go.
It's my own poop. I'm just so...
I know.
Oh, I'm lost.
No, you're just where you want to be.
Then they dragged him to the magistrate, and that's where he died.
That's where he died.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
I always wanted to waste a lawyer's time.
There you go.
Magistrate's a sheriff.
I thought that they were like everything.
I could be a judge. I thought a magistrate was a judge.
Huh. So
a magistrate's a judge.
So Ben is once again right.
Yes.
Perhaps the satirical mind is more clever than ours.
Oh, you don't think he has a satirical mind?
No, I have a hysterical mind.
Yeah, he just spent 2 minutes screaming about poop.
No, nothing satirical about that. What a genius. In a lab. Wow. All right.
Ass hysteria.
Yes, I know.
Well, taking things even further, citizens then accused a barber surgeon named Gian Giacomo Mora of working with Satan to make poisonous potions.
Oh, jeez.
Now, the whole Giacomo Mora saga was a tragic misunderstanding of the highest order. See, if you'll remember, the Black Plague produces painful boils that erupt in the groin and the armpits of the infected.
Ugh. Yeah.
And Giacomo Mora had devised a salve that helped soothe the pain of these burst boils.
Ugh.
Word of Mora's miracle ointment soon spread, and people began crowding his shop to buy a daub for themselves before he ran out. Naturally, many of those people were infected with the plague, so when they rubbed up against the uninfected in close quarters, the plague spread.
It seems I have created more of a problem with my very helpful ointment.
Yes.
Which is why now that you have received the plague from being inside my establishment while trying to buy anti-plague formula, I've actually made plague-filled formula that should actually counteract the actual plague inside.
I think we got ourselves a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. voter.
But instead of blaming themselves or saying like, hey, maybe I got the plague from those guys that I was right next to who also had the plague.
That would make sense.
They blamed Mora.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that he was a minion of Satan who'd spread the plague through his salve.
No, I spread the plague through my incredible deals and the amazing content.
Yeah, it just seems like every day there's a different landmine you step in on accident.
Oh, yeah.
Back then,
it was always, it has not changed.
Nothing has changed.
And so Mora was arrested and brutally tortured for a month.
I'm just thinking that this is an overcorrection.
I think
okay?
so, too.
I just made a helpful ointment.
Yeah. Well, they're also looking for people to blame. You know, people are like, the plague is going very poorly. You know, like 25% of the population is dead or dying. You know, people need a bit of a distraction. People like something to blame. They like something to talk about.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I just, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you get some. Yeah, it's not like it happens anymore.
No, we beat that.
Totally beat that. Mm. But while being stretched on the rack, right around the time that his sinews began popping.
I am sick of the ointment. I'll never make ointment again.
Don't make it again.
Mora not only confessed, but he began naming accomplices.
Oh, yeah, buddy. You guys are fucked.
Yeah.
If I'm stretched out, dude.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Mm-hmm. These accomplices were then arrested and tortured until they named more accomplices. So, and those people were arrested and tortured and named more accomplices and so on and so forth down the line.
Sound good.
Every single person who confessed after prolonged torture was executed.
So they just, that's the prisoner's dilemma.
That is technically, that is the fly in the ointment.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it is. I wonder how many, what's the average crank? You get cranked like 5-6 times?
Oh, no, for the rack?
Yeah.
No, you're talking about maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah.
2 to 3 minutes.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Because your arms dislocate. Yeah, because it's really slow.
Yeah.
It's a very long, because you go.
I don't think I've seen the rack at all the torture museums we've been to. I don't.
We just did.
Yeah.
Actually, did I see one?
Think of it like a big gear, and you go like, tukunk. You just want to do like one tukunk at a time.
That's enough.
Because part of the torture is the tension of how much more they're going to stretch you and how long it's going to be until they stretch you more.
Of course. I think the one that I would like the least is that one where you sit and then they put the weights on your legs.
The Spanish donkey.
Yeah, I don't like that Spanish donkey.
No, you would not.
No.
That's why you got to build up to it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've been working with this incredible Italian footstool.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really kind of just, I'm using it. I'm working up to it because I started with what's called the prairie mound.
Well, Giacomo Mora's body itself was exhibited as a warning to other supposed poisoners because after he confessed, they broke him on the wheel. They put him on the wheel. They destroyed all of his joints and he eventually died from that. His body was dumped in the river and then they burned down his home and his business just because.
At this point they were like, we need to start all of this over.
Right, yeah.
Now, it was difficult to prove whether or not any poisonings had actually occurred because thousands of people were dropping dead of the plague in Milan every day. By August, it was said that 4,000 dead bodies were in the streets, just rotting.
Smell.
August Italian sun.
Oh, mama.
But even so, people were so anxious about the plague that they began accusing themselves of associating with witches and sorcerers. They began going to authorities, turning themselves in, and then being executed.
Jeez. It's weird.
It was fucked up. Because I bet you getting executed is a lot nicer than dying of the fucking plague.
It might be.
I mean, I guess it is a form of suicide to just break the tension.
You'd be like fuck it. Yeah, it's me. Fucking chop my head off. Let's go.
Yeah.
I think maybe just the Iron Maiden, just slam that door shut, poke me real fast.
But slow death.
The point of the Iron Maiden is that it's a very, very slow death.
Because it doesn't hit the vitals.
It sticks in like an inch.
Yeah, it sticks in just
a
little
bleed.
Bit.
You just
bleed. Yeah, well.
Sounds like I just told you the picnic was postponed.
Yeah.
That
sucks. That's not good.
I guess I have to get my hot dog someplace else.
Now, if we stay in the realm of the devil for a moment, Let's head over to the city of Lille in France to an all-girls boarding school in 1639.
Each one of these mass hysteria episodes sound pretty hot.
It's an all-girls boarding school. They're like 10.
Ugh.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, there.
I'm sorry. Now I'm imagining other. I'm talking about if it was cast.
Yeah, he's talking about
a 21-year-old.
Yes, he's talking about an all-girls boarding school. Yes, 21 to 38.
That's my goal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fun.
35 and up. Looks this like is my MILF boarding school. I got to start an all-MILF
boarding
school.
Ooh, a MILF boarding school
yeah.
is good.
Yeah,
Miss nice. MILF, you didn't get your homework in time.
And then she starts yelling at you and debasing you and you kind of feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there, a French mystic named Antoinette Bouillon, who believed that she was chosen by God to restore the true Christianity, she became besieged by demonic visions. Upon visiting the school, Antoinette saw a swarm of little black angels flying around the heads of the schoolgirls, and she became so obsessed with the black imps that she began telling the schoolgirls that it was they who were the ones who were attracting the devils with their behavior, their sinful schoolgirl behavior.
That was very similar to the devils of Loudon.
Very much so. Naturally, with an authority figure telling them that the devil was around always and that it was their fault, the girls also began to see the little black devils. And the whole school soon became obsessed with the devil.
Well, it's just so much more fun to have a life where you're seeing all these little devils and you're mixing all your shit up. Because it's a very boring life.
Yeah.
You're in an old, dumb, like, boarding school.
It sounds like everyone's dying.
It's a life of drudgery. You're, like, cleaning the floors and listening to fake science and math and, you know, like, it's all this shit. So, yeah, of course, we're going to turn into a bunch of little devil girls. It's so much more fun. Yeah.
Be careful for the weirdos out there. We are the weirdos, sir.
God, just seeing you dresses. I see you dresses for Urge Ball in my mind.
I'll fly as you go.
Well, finally, one girl couldn't take it anymore and ran away from the school. She feared that she would become possessed. The staff, of course, caught up with her and returned her to the school. Mm. But when she got to the school, she said that the devil had taken her away. And then she, of course, confessed to being a witch.
Uh-oh.
And had been so since the age of 7.
True, the old school version of the Nepo baby.
Mm-hmm. Did they kill her?
No. Once it was announced to the class, 50 schoolgirls took it as a cue and spontaneously erupted into fits and convulsions. And 201, all 50 confessed to being witches.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yep. And like the satanic panic of the 90s, the girls tried outdoing each other with stories of demonic dealings. They quickly escalated. Oh, yeah, we ride broomsticks. Okay, fine. Cool. Oh, yeah. Cool. We can go through keyholes. Like, wow, that's pretty interesting.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We're attending demon meeting.
Demon meeting?
Nice. Thank
you. Did you not bring the soda water? Did you not bring the
chips? No, is it an infernal how I lie?
Oh, God damn it.
I was just joking. Of course I brought the celts.
Yes.
And then finally, the feasting of baby flesh.
Yay.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they pop up. That's how it always goes.
Always with the baby
always
eating.
It always goes to baby eating. Constantly.
Yeah, constantly.
It's been that 1639. The baby eating has been around
been
for hundreds upon thousands of years.
For a long time. And, man, all I know is I'm hungry for some Comet pizza.
I love it. But honestly, have you ever been to Bordy's?
No,
it is the only. It's an abortionist / bowls. They just do bowls, and one of my favorite is just like they just put a whole slurry in there. It's just that's nice good. That at least it goes somewhere.
That is nice. That is very appropriate. Yeah.
And then you get some stem cells in the process, and you look 2 weeks younger.
Look how younger. Young I look.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Look how young
that's incredible.
I am.
That is incredible.
Beating back the clock. They aged you fast.
Well, incredibly, when the clergy and local authorities investigated these claims of witchcraft, riding brooms, eating babies, they found the confessions of these children to be valid.
Oh, valid.
All 50 schoolgirls were sentenced to be burned at the stake.
Now, that is just a lot of work for me. I'm the executioner, guys.
Also, just
how
annoying would that be to get them all in there? You know what I mean? Because they're all yelling. Because these kids are already kind of loud. They're crazy. You know, the idea of getting them all ready to burn them at the stake and stuff.
Do you do it
amongst,
once?
No, you spread it amongst like 10 days. 5 girls a day.
5 girls a day, all but individual burnings.
Yeah.
Yeah, each one's got to be...
No. No. You do it in a line. You do it in a line.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Wow, they don't even get to be special.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't want to go that way either.
It's honestly, it's crazy about how there's always been too many kids in the classroom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, thankfully, though, some of the more clear-headed adults stepped in and told authorities that the kids had gotten those ideas from crazy old Antoinette Bonnion. Oh. Who is locally known as a mentally unstable person.
Okay, yes, great. I'm your local crazy bitch.
You gotta have one.
That's my whole thing.
I love them.
The children were thereafter set free, and the case was closed.
Well,
case closed. But did they apologize?
No.
Why would they burn like 50 girls to
death? No, they didn't burn them.
Oh, they didn't even apologize? None of them.
They told authorities, like, hey, they got these crazy ideas.
Before the burn.
Yeah, the children, I just said the children were set free. I just said that.
No, I know, but not all of them.
I just said that.
Okay. Fantastic. I wasn't sure if it was all of them or not all of them.
The children were thereafter set free.
But there was 50 total, so technically 10 still could have died.
Guys, please. Please stop. This is mass hysteria.
This is mass
hysteria. Catching on.
Live from your grave.
Now, earlier, we mentioned Spring-Heeled Jack as an example of a mass hysteria.
Yes.
But Jack was not the only London creature to cause a fuss. 30 years before Jack, in 1803, Londoners in the Hammersmith District were supposedly haunted by a glass-eyed, horned ghost dressed in white.
Hello, boo and whatnot. I'm not a nerd, I'm dead.
Boo and whatnot.
Now, the rumors of sightings in Hammersmith very quickly turned into encounters. One man said that the ghost had risen from a grave and choked him, while rumors spread that two women had died of fright after they got spooked too hard by the Hammersmith Phantom.
Dude, how many people do you think Ashton Kutcher could have killed if he would have kept on with that show Punk'd?
He almost killed Frankie Muniz that one time.
Oh, he did.
That was funny.
Yeah, now Frankie Muniz can't remember nothing.
That was funny.
But I actually have this is a witness encounter of the Hammersmith ghost. It's from Thomas Groom.
I was going through the churchyard between 8 and 9 o'clock with my jacket under my arm, my hands in my pocket, when some person came from behind a tombstone, in which there were only 4 square in the yard behind me, and caught me fast by the throat with both hands and held me fast. My fellow servant, who was going on before, hearing me scuffling, asked what was the matter, and then, whatever it was, gave me a twist around, and when I saw nothing, I gave a bit of a push out with my fist and felt something soft, like a great coat.
Weird. Mm. Okay, cool.
Well, citizens armed themselves.
What are you going to do? Why is it? It's a ghost.
It's really interesting.
It's unclear.
But it's very specific. This story is really interesting because people said that they saw a physical guy, but dressed as a ghost.
Okay.
But they were kind of creeped out by this guy that they were like all trying to decide whether or not he was a physical thing or a ghost. But he was touching people. So people are like, well, he's got to be physical. Yeah. This is very, very similar to, you remember the good old days of the clown sightings in the UK and the GIMP costume dude.
It was like 3 years ago.
That's still around. The GIMP costume guy is still around.
That was about 8-9 years ago.
Oh, was it 2016? There was the clown sightings. And it was because it's interesting because they never really fully got to the point where people were shooting these clowns.
Not yet.
But people were really freaked out.
Let's not shoot the clowns. Let's not shoot them.
Yeah. And so that's the thing.
You hit them with a pie.
Yeah, they're clowns.
Yeah,
bullets in it.
No. That also wouldn't work. It wouldn't do anything.
But yeah, but then you show them and you're like, hey, think about this next time. There's bullets.
You spray them with the seltzer water. You throw a pie on them. And that's a clown's. That's how they feel shame.
You just call CPS.
Yeah. Well, citizens armed themselves and patrolled the neighborhood to somehow apprehend or murder the ghost.
Uh-huh.
But as it often goes, when mass hysteria meets guns, tragedy struck when an armed citizen named Francis Smith happened upon a bricklayer named Thomas Millwood one night. Tragically, Thomas was dressed in white pants, a white shirt, and a white apron. That's the clothing of a bricklayer.
And he was actually told by his family to not dress like this.
Yeah.
You're like, listen. Do not do this. They're looking for a guy dressed all in white right now.
Weird.
And he was just like, I'm a bricklayer. That's what I do. This is the uniform of a bricklayer.
He probably didn't have that many different clothes.
Yeah, probably not.
No, I think that he was dressed
like a bricklayer.
He was proud.
Yeah.
Well, mistaking Thomas Millwood for the ghost, Francis Smith got spooked and made a hamburger out of Millwood's face with the shotgun, killing him.
Yep.
Smith was tried and convicted for murder, but his death sentence was commuted to 1 year of hard labor for the extenuating circumstances created by a ghost panic.
Interesting.
This is the first time there were they tried to figure out in court at this time period about, are you excused for murder if you believe that that person is a ghost?
Yeah.
And then they don't know. It actually was not. It was settled way later on. They eventually they were like, no, you murdered. And then they got him out of jail later. But later on, they were like, no, just because you believe in ghosts doesn't mean you can like openly murder anybody with the sheet on their head, unless they are obviously Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, you can kill them.
I mean, you still get in trouble, but
yeah,
we'll all like you.
Yeah, I won't tell any.
Well, interestingly, however, it was eventually learned that the quote unquote ghost had actually been real after a fashion. The ghostly figure in white had actually been a shoemaker who was wearing the costume to frighten his apprentice, because the apprentice had been scaring the shoemaker's children with ghost stories.
Just a funny guy. Just a funny guy. Got a guy murdered. Yeah, wow. Murdered for a fucking bit.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, while some mass hysterias are very much outward operations, sometimes the consequences are inflicted inward, as they were during the Halifax slasher incident of 1938. One night in November, two young women named Mary and Gertrude...
Definitely a young women's name.
Yes.
They were attacked at the local mill where they worked by what they said was a mysterious man with a mallet and bright buckles on his shoes.
Cool. It's the leprechaun.
I want to be gold.
Oh.
I thought it would be a big clown. I imagine it like Bozo the Clown.
No, they don't wear buckles in clowns. I don't see buckles in clowns.
I see him as a munchkin.
You do.
But I could see a munchkin.
A bunchkin.
Yeah, I could see that bunchkin, yeah.
So you mean a man, a regular-sized man.
Dressed as a munchkin with a big mallet, like a Hummel character. He's got a pin.
Sure.
He's got,
sure.
In my head, it's like a gnome-like hat, like a Terry the Gnome-style hat.
Yeah.
And he's got like a beard, and he's got a fancy little shoes and little tiny little pointed boots on, and he's got a big mallet.
Right. Huh. I could see it.
I always, for some reason, associate mallets with clowns.
That's unique. I don't.
Yeah, I could see it. Honestly, I see that.
Do you see it?
See, I see people like, I think of clock people.
Clock people. Yeah, I could see that.
Like wooden soldier guys.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Keebler.
SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. What do you associate mallets with? Clowns or clock people?
Interesting.
Absolutely.
We'll see. We'll see how that
changes. We'll use the mallet to fix the clock.
Well, after the attack, Mary and Gertrude ran to a nearby house with facial wounds inflicted by a razor blade. Supposedly perpetrated by the man with bright buckles on his shoes.
Very similar to the stories of Spring Hill Jack. And you remember the butt slasher in Brooklyn?
Oh, well, the butt slasher was very real.
Yes.
Like, that was real.
But I mean, like, it's weird. The slashing epidemics have happened before and continue to happen.
Now, Halifax had been gripped in a slashing epidemic a little over a decade earlier when a man named James Leonard stalked and slashed the clothing of six women in town. He, however, was ruled out of the 1938 attacks on account of how none of the witnesses described his abnormally large nose.
Really?
It was so big.
Nice, saves me again.
It was so big that if you saw it, you would notice it. That's the first thing you would say.
Big nose.
Yeah.
So in this case, the big nose saved him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he slashed a bunch of other people.
Yeah. Yes, that's not good.
No.
Yeah.
On account of the nose.
I know, the nose knows.
No, within just a few days after Mary and Gertrude reported the man with the bright buckles, anxiety over slasher attacks had gripped the town. 5 days after the first attack, another young woman was supposedly attacked by a guy who cut her wrist. And 3 days later, another girl got slashed, and then another, and then another. By then, the newspapers picked up the story and gave it a name, the Halifax Slasher, which seemed to only create more slashing victims.
And if it's truly Canadian, you know he sent that a letter at some point and be like, actually, it's the St. Kenosha River Slasher. If you really want to know how to name a guy, you need to know where the man lives.
You don't want to do it that way.
Halifax, England.
Oh.
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
I'm fucking, whatever,
wow,
man.
Wow, Canadians just got you.
Yeah. I know,
you
I'm
got
sorry.
Got by Canadians.
I got got.
Well, vigilante groups began patrolling the streets, beating up anyone who wasn't known to the mob personally.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It sucks.
And one of the girls escalated the story by saying she had been attacked by a man wielding something called a dirty Macintosh.
I have to look up that.
No, dude, I tried looking up what a dirty Macintosh is. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't find it.
What's a dirty Macintosh?
Maybe if I asked ChatGPT.
No, oh, don't ask it.
Dirty Mac or dirty Mac, and a dirty Mac is
it's a weapon.
It says here that it's a when you come in a Yeti water bottle and you put it in your girlfriend's ass and you fuck her as she shits. And it also says here.
Does it really say that?
This is incredible.
That sounds like a bit of an improv.
A Dirty Mac is a foo who's trying to get at the same female as yourself.
Oh, like Return of the Mac.
Yeah.
Like a Mac. Like a Mac Daddy.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't think that that's what they were referencing.
That guy's all that. He's a bag of chips.
Yes, of course. That would be a snack.
But by the end of the month, one of the victims, a one Percy Waddington.
Ooh,
admitted,
Percy.
Percy Waddington. He admitted that he'd actually inflicted the razor wound on himself.
You know what they say here also, and according to the other one, Dirty Mac Brigade is in England. It's called, it's dirty old men in a group.
Dirty old men in a group. But this woman said that she was attacked by a man wielding something that, quote, felt like a dirty Macintosh.
I don't know.
He's a foo that's trying to go after somebody else's woman.
That's the only thing I could decide.
Well, after Percy Waddington admitted that he'd slashed himself, 9 of the 12 victims admitted that they'd also slashed themselves.
Ah, yeah.
You're wasting time.
Well, now you're just like in this trap of like, everybody's getting attention out of this thing. It feels really crazy. And I wonder why. Again, why?
Well, they're both creating and participating in the panic.
And then perpetuating the panic, which actually kind of gives you something to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boredom is really the underlying story here.
Mm-hmm. And the idea of jumping into, because we all like group things.
Yeah, and it's 1930, but I don't know about boredom, because it's 1938. Like, this is the war years. Like, Germany is bombing.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's UK. Actually, I think that you just spelled it out right there. It's what we've talked about. It's about stress.
Yeah,
and
about
so
stress.
If you are maybe getting bombed and you're in this place, that is definitely a way to sort of express it. Because weirdly.
Cut yourself.
Yeah. It's not about the war anymore.
No.
You've been you're in this war. You've been experiencing it. Now it's something else. Now it's butt slashing.
It's about the bombs that don't explode. It's about the bombs you don't drop. Yeah. That's what war is.
That's what Hitler's jazz was all about. I'm just glad we're here on 420 really done.
That guy really knew how to tweak. You see that video of him at the Olympics?
Yeah, him just
fucking
rocking back and forth on meth.
Tweaking, bro.
Yeah, he was on speed.
Hard
but, like,
tweaking.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, man.
He was a weird guy.
Yeah.
Weird guy.
Real strange guy.
Strange, yeah.
Well, perhaps the strange.
It's his birthday today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It's 420.
Columbine as well.
Yep, I remember that.
What a day.
Yeah.
And weed, bro.
Oh, my God.
2 out of 3.
Is it not the loss of innocence for America today?
It could be.
I don't know, man. I think Columbine. That started July 4th, 1776.
Shut up. No.
Yeah, think about it.
I am.
Think about it.
You haven't made sense once yet.
I am
almost 2 hours.
I am trapped inside of a prison of my own brain.
Oh.
But perhaps the strangest modern mass epidemic occurred in 1963 in the country of Tanzania in East Africa, just a month after they gained their independence from the United Kingdom. There, a teenage girl at a missionary boarding school began having a fit of anxiety-induced laughter, and pretty soon, she and her friends were all laughing uncontrollably.
Every one of these things happening at boarding schools and convents, every story of mass hysteria amongst little girls all feels like anime movies.
Yeah, it really does.
All I know is, as a performer who does comedy, great crowd. This crowd is great.
They're not smizing, though. Like, it's ha 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 ha.
Yeah, I don't care.
Like,
I just want to hear it.
Oh, you just want to hear the empty, hollow laughter?
Well, that's all I search. That's what I seek.
Ha ha ha.
Ha 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 ha.
Just give me noises.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, before long, 95 out of the 159 students were unable to stop laughing. They were sent home, but then the laughter spread to their families.
Uh-oh.
And thereafter, throughout their communities.
This can only mean one thing. Fluffy has arrived.
Whoa, Gabriel Iglesias. He's really famous.
Yes.
Well, the Junji Ito-like epidemic spread to thousands of people all over the region and lasted for months, long enough where the schools were closed. In some cases, the laughter would only last 2 hours, but in other people, they could suffer for weeks.
That's Natalie.
In one case, it was a year before someone stopped laughing.
Nonstop laughing or nonstop hiccuping?
Laughing.
Hiccuping. Because then at least you could get stuff done. Like, you could talk still. If you're laughing, you can't talk.
Hiccuping makes me feel crazy.
Yeah. I do hate a hiccup.
Yeah.
I hate a hiccup. I love to laugh.
But if you, but I
that's
guess
going to say that in my obituary.
But you're also in your mind, you're in hell.
Yeah,
but
I am already.
Your face is like,
you're just talking about generalized anxiety and OCD.
Yeah.
So I'm already there.
Yeah. You're here, man.
Yeah, I'm in a nightmare up top. It's fun out here.
Well, soon the laughter turned into uncontrollable crying, aimless running, and violent aggression. There was no physical reason why any of this started, or any physical reason why any of it stopped. The only theory anyone could come up with was that the schoolgirls were increasingly stressed by the alien environment of a Christian missionary boarding school.
At first, I thought you meant of like the aerial school phenomenon.
Yeah.
That alien that, environment.
That's an alien environment.
That would have been interesting. Kind of alien environment. Maybe they just missed the queen.
Oh.
I doubt it.
The queen
of England.
This is 1963.
Yeah, just keep going. She 1963. Just started.
She had been in power at that point by like 9 years.
This is when she was like fuckable.
Yeah.
That's how long
ago this was. Yeah. But I'm saying they no longer have control. So they missed the queen.
Yeah. Okay. Now I get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was about to say, actually.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's because, I mean, it's a transitional anxiety.
Wow.
Like, you know, the country's finally set free from colonial bonds. They've got, I mean, this is the makings.
I didn't have to fucking write that down.
Yeah.
You really didn't.
Great.
That's a good idea. I mean, you said it in a way that I didn't understand, but I liked what you said.
Well, do the way you wrote it.
I think it works.
I think it works.
Right. It works.
Cool. Do what you mean. Do that.
You know, have you
the
heard
triangle,
about by their
city? The triangle
heard
of trust has spoken. I acquiesce.
Have you heard that there's that new school supply sale coming up? It's a class hysteria.
Okay.
Why not?
Why not?
Well, perhaps the most well-known epidemic in modern times, however, is the Japanese Pokemon Panic of 1997.
This is freaky, too.
What is this?
Have you heard of this?
No.
Do you know about this?
No.
Have you heard about this?
I haven't.
Have you heard about this?
So I didn't even realize Pokemon was out in 97.
Yeah,
but it's been around for a long time.
It was on its 38th episode.
Yeah.
No shit.
But
mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that year, over 12,000 children exhibited physical symptoms ranging from nausea to seizures after watching an episode of Pokemon called Computer Warrior Porygon.
Okay.
Now, at first, the sickness that eventually came to be known as Pokemon Shock.
And that's normally when you have one of those little balls up in your vagina for 2 months.
In your vagina, yes, yes.
Oh. I didn't even write that down. I didn't come up with anything.
Write that
I didn't
down
know. I wasn't prepared.
Yeah. Didn't write that down at all.
That was. It was attributed to a photosensitive epileptic fit triggered by the bright flashing lights used in the episode when Ash and Pikachu went into the computer.
Well, because that's what I thought at first. Weird. I thought this really was just a response to the lights, but it was more complicated than that.
Well, more complicated in a way that we don't understand. Those same flashes, they'd been used in previous Pokemon episodes, and they've been used in other anime. In fact, this tension-building technique of different colored lights flashing over and over again, it was used so often that it has a name. Paka Paka.
Oh, well.
Oh.
And so, like, you feel like people should have been used to it at this point.
Or that's not even necessarily that they would have been used to it, but if it was the flashing lights, it would have happened before this point.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
But for whatever reason, after this episode in particular, over 600 children were taken to the hospital complaining of shortness of breath, nausea, and blurred vision. The event then got picked up by the news, who unwisely re-aired the segment in its entirety during the newscast.
You mean this segment?
That's really smart.
Yeah. I mean, it really could be. But anyway, as a result, a further 12,000 kids were afflicted.
Yeah, they just did it again. They did it to everybody.
Oh, my God.
But I mean, I actually just thought about this. Maybe it could be. I mean, Pokemon was an incredibly popular show from the beginning.
Yeah.
It could be that when it was used in other episodes, it didn't have as big of an audience.
Who knows?
And people didn't pay attention. People didn't put together the dots. They didn't connect the dots.
Dark world of Pokemon.
Also, is there something to the order of the lights and the colors of it that maybe could affect the human brain?
I don't know.
Yes.
You saying yes?
Yes.
I'll take your word for it. That's
probably
the expert that I know to my left.
Probably. Why not?
Now, the Pokemon case is fascinating, not just for the speed at which it happened, but for how something so large can happen so quickly without any real scientific explanation as to why it happened. To this day, no one is really sure what happened.
That's weird.
And to make sure, the episode has never been re-aired.
Really?
Yeah. Not in Japan. Not in Japan.
We're going to show it on the stream.
Yeah. Not in Japan, at least. Yeah. You can find it, but it's never been re-aired on TV in Japan.
97. Wow.
Now, scientists who have studied the causes of mass sociogenic illness have had largely inconclusive findings.
Good, great.
Mostly this is because these illnesses are so spontaneous and they're so difficult to see while they're happening, especially hard to see by the people it's happening to. And
I love the Mueller report of Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. And I love our experts, right? All of our experts, yeah. Their big old brains and their large books.
Does anyone wear their It's Mueller Time shirts anymore?
No, that compassion, that fashion is past.
Now I remember that. Yeah.
It's Mueller time. Mueller time. I love that. Was it German really, Inquisitor.
Was it Mueller?
It's fucking Mueller. Mueller.
Okay.
It's Mueller. Mueller.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the concept of you're dealing with an issue that is widespread and immediate, and then, you know, as we have all discovered, as we've gotten older, when you're trying to figure out how to get an answer from all these various experts, these people that are work for the government, and they just kind of want to button up whatever situation's going on real fast. They just want to be, they want to just have it be done.
They just want to go on spring break.
Yes, they just want to wrap it up. Yeah, and so they look at you, and as soon as it's, you know, mysterious, they're like,
it's like working for the weekend is great in theory unless you're in charge of our nukes.
Yeah.
Can you work for Tuesday?
Yeah. Like, unfortunately, I know it's a Sunday, but you're in charge of the Department of Transportation, Mr. Buttigieg.
You got him. Speaking of Pokemon. He's little.
He likes the Pokemon.
Wow. I was going with a size joke, but then you came in and totally redeemed yourself.
Gay
this whole
joke.
Episode,
good job.
Complete C work, and then boom, an A+, bringing you to a B.
That's all I need.
Well, there's no pattern when trying to identify social, psychological, or physical characteristics to find groups more susceptible than others when it comes to mass hysteria. People of every race, age, socioeconomic status, mental stability, nationality, all of us are capable of falling into a mass hysteria of some kind or another. As far as we know, nobody is immune from mass sociogenic illness. No matter how strong you think you are, no matter how smart you believe yourself to be, I know there's people out there going, nah, not me.
If the you got that person you made up in your mind.
If the right,
that's how you win an argument at all times. I invent the other side, and then I go, oh, well, fuck you and your mother. And then it's done, and I deny it. I'm really.
If the right button gets pushed in your lizard brain, then you too could lose yourself in a torrent of mass hysteria. In other words, reality is ultimately a construct created by human consensus.
You know, buddy, we right now need to be stabilizing figures. I don't know if I don't like, I'm not sure if I'm loving the diatribe to wrap it up.
Bro, we can change how we perceive reality. Dangerously
Why
fast.
Why don't we just perceive it like it is?
You know
now?
What you need is some tincture. Yeah. Then you'll back, you'll be back in.
I just don't know if we need to be like, it's all wiggly woggly. Why don't we just be like, yo, but some things are set in stone.
No. What I'm trying to say is that you actually got to hold on to yourself harder because we can change how we perceive reality dangerously fast, especially when we've got other people of our same peer group telling us to do so. Again, I bring up January 6th, when hundreds of people stormed the Capitol, fully convinced by their political and media leaders that they would be going down in history books as the saviors of the Republic for rescuing the country from a satanic cult.
Little did they know that entire thing is going to be purged from the history books.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just wandered around filming themselves.
They loved it.
The spell, you saw the spell being broken. They don't know what to do.
Yeah,
once
they got
get there.
Here, and they're like, it's like, you know what they say. I mean, it's the Joker. If he got a hold of the car, would he even know what to do with it?
Well, you steal the car, take it, drive it around. It's more of a dog scenario, I think.
It is, but he attributed to the Joker in the film.
Did they? Oh, this new one's going to be interesting. Okay,
so close.
But that is to say, when anxiety is whipped up hard enough over a long period of time, people can convince themselves that anything is true. And when that happens, you better make damn sure that you or your group aren't the ones in the crosshairs.
Little Dan Carlin right at the end.
Wow, Little Dan Carlin, mass hysteria.
I like the wrap up.
Thank you. In the crosshairs.
Again, I'm 50-50 on it.
A mass hysteria.
On the conclusion.
On the conclusion?
Yeah.
All right.
Crosshairs, so, everyone's getting shot.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of mass hysterias do end in Murder.
That's violent.
Sometimes when you catch yourself like simping hard for some woman, you find yourself deep in the middle of lass hysteria.
There you go. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
And I hope that you did.
And if you're a particularly big fan of UK punk, you might find yourself in crass hysteria.
Yes!
Wow!
Kissel?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When I think about hysteria, I always think about... Well, I actually, let's fishing, bass hysteria. Yeah. You're good today.
And if you're a particularly big fan of ska music, yes, you might find yourself in brass hysteria.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
Good.
Very good.
Oh, God.
Ass. Pass.
Yeah, anything that rhymes with it there.
Grass.
That's
what I'm experiencing today is grass hysteria.
And if you're a skeptic of UFOs, you might find yourself in Philip J. Class hysteria.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
He got out of it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm out. Oh, I'm done. I am done. Do we have anything to say?
Okay,
to wrap it up?
No, not just anymore.
Fucking enjoy your time, ladies and gentlemen.
We do have a lot of things coming up, but we're not ready to announce. But if you go to Z2 Comics, you can purchase Last Comic Book on the Left Volume 3.
You can pre-order it.
But we're going to make sure that they come out on time.
Yeah.
Just like Mussolini. We're going to make sure that those comics come out, and we can't wait for you guys to see what we're working on now.
Guaranteeing it. Actually, guaranteeing it.
That's a good idea.
Guaranteed. And also today is that it's already passed, but Spring Hill Jack Coffee was doing a 420 special. If you buy any sort of coffee, it's too late because they were going to give it to the Last Prisoner Project, but they're going to start selling shirts of the design that they just did, which is fucking awesome.
Great design.
Spring Hill Jack. And then a chunk of that money is going to go to Last Prisoner Project.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And next week, what's going to be fun is that we're actually going to be going on a bit of a spring break. We're giving everyone the week off, including ourselves.
I mean, I'll be worrying.
Yeah. Worrying. Of course. Not a break.
Spin around a bunch.
Yeah, we'll do this kind of stuff.
But we're going to do a little best of, and then we're going to be back the next week with some blood.
We're going to have some big, drippy blood, and then I think we're jumping into some historical periods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to be jumping into some...
Speaking of drippy blood.
Particularly big.
When did the tampon come out? We'll cover that.
Yeah, awesome. That's all right, the history of the tampon. And you know what? Every woman listener... can't wait to hear our perspective on the nature of the tampon.
I'm a fan of free bleeding. Why not? Let me know where you've been.
Hey, speaking of free bleeding, come to see Wizard of the Bruiser in Page 7 live with the release the Butthole Cut tour. Let me give you a rundown of
these
dates.
Will they ever release the Butthole Cut?
No, because then they have to stop the show.
They really should.
You think so?
I want to know what the butthole looks like on these cats.
I mean, you can just go find a cat and take a look at a butthole.
No, but I want to see the CGI because someone had to work really hard on it, which is kind of funny to think about.
I would just say everybody just, leave a butt, leave the cat alone.
Leave the cat
May 9th, 2023, Salt Lake City. May 10th, Grandwood Village, Colorado. May 11th, Las Vegas, baby. June 21st, Portland. June 22nd, Tacoma, Washington. July 11th, Oklahoma City, okay. And July 12th, Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh,
go and check it out.
They're
going to
love that barbecue. Yes, also May 7th. That's right. I'll be doing in Brea. I'll be doing a Hail Yourself.
Oh, yeah, Brea Improv, which is great. We'll
come out for that. All right, everyone, Hail Yourselves.
Hail Simmons.
Hail again.
Magustalations.
Why don't you give yourself, Hail yourself, of course.
And Hail Yourself.
And if you're done with that, hail me.
There you go. Don't go crazy.
Try not to.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.